Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
By definition, a storyteller conveys events in words, images, and sounds, often by improvisation or embellishment. The Living Bread Radio Network presents The Storytellers with Tony Agnese. Today, you'll hear a faith-based, inspirational story that's both heartfelt and heartwarming. And now, let's meet today's storyteller with Tony Agnese.
Welcome to The Storytellers. This is Tony Agnese. Our guest this morning is Pastor Walter Moss. Pastor Moss is a retired pastor who has written a wonderful pamphlet called Why I Am a Black Pro-Life Pastor. And Pastor Walter, welcome.
Thank you.
Somebody gave me a copy of that booklet a couple of years, two or 3 years ago at a pro-life banquet.
Okay.
And I read it, and although I was aware of the statistics.
Right.
And reading the statistics about abortion and the black population, it was scary.
Yes.
It was alarming. And it caused me to wonder why there aren't more black pastors who are just, you know, talking about this issue. What is your story? What brought you as a pastor to a pro-life a position in your thinking?
Okay, well, I've always been pro-life. So I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old. I realized at 21 that God called me to preach when I was at college, Ohio University. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I follow the word of God, and I've always been pro-life. But in the 1980s, I was one of the founding board members of the Crisis Pregnancy Center, which is now Pregnancy Choices, which is the second or third largest facility in the United States. So I was on the board for years and then, you know, got off the board. And then one day, my oldest daughter came home and told us she was pregnant out of wedlock. And so, well, hey, you know, abortion never came up. Thank God for my 16-year-old granddaughter today, Anaya. I wouldn't know how I could go through life without her. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful, smart, Christian young lady. But when that happened, God struck my heart about looking back into what's going on with abortion. You know, he kind of said, you're concerned about yours, but what about the rest? And what he meant by that, it prompted me to go back and look at where are we at now? And this was about maybe 13, 14 years ago. And I looked at statistics and I couldn't believe, especially when I looked at the statistics in the African-American community, and it floored me. And then the other part of that is, you know, I had, again, been pro-life, and a lot of, I always call my white brethren, and thank God for the Catholic Church, because, you know, you all have really helped to lead the way in the pro-life movement. Matter of fact, I get more support financial support from Catholic organizations than I do Protestant. Mm-hmm. So thank God for the Catholic Church. But I told them, they would always ask me when we're standing out 40 Days for Life or standing out in front of a Planned Parenthood, well, where are the black pastors or black folk? And I said, well, you know, when I wrote this little book, put my picture on the front, God said, you represent. And so I said, I'm here. I'm representing. Now, there are. Matter of fact, I was recently at a conference in Washington, D.C. here a month ago with Star Parker. And she has a organization, and they really have African-American pastors to come alongside, come to the meetings. And this past meeting, we had 140 to 150 African-American pastors.
That's wonderful.
And so my whole thought is we've got to educate people. When you look at the statistics don't lie. And that's why my little book that God had me to write, it's been in the hands. I've got 28,000 in circulation. It's basically when they look at the statistics, I get this, hey, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so it's really to educate. And that's what God's called me to do. I don't like to argue with people. I just want to educate you. And number one, we stick with the Word of God. That, you know, life starts at conception in the womb. And also, we just say, look at these statistics. And if the African-American population, if we only make up 13% of the United States population, and we're having almost 40% of the abortions, in a few years from now, and in 10 years from now, in major cities, our population, New York City, have more abortions of black babies than black babies being born. Mm-hmm. And they're already seeing the effects of it in areas that was strong, that are strongly Democrat. The Hispanic community are now being able to take those seats because the African-American population is decreasing.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I heard, and this was years ago, that as a percentage of the population, the African-American population is getting smaller. And you
that's
say, well,
right.
how could that be?
Right.
Well, it's because the number one cause of
that's
death
right.
in the African-American community is abortion.
That's
now,
right.
I'm old enough to, I worked in Atlanta, Georgia in the 70s in the,
wow.
in the shadows of Martin Luther King
right.
and so forth. And at that time, it appeared to be that most of the pastors in the African-American community that I knew were pro-life.
Right.
What happened?
Oh, well, you remember when Jesse Jackson ran for president? He was. And all of a sudden, he said he needed money. And he started getting money from Planned Parenthood, NARAL organizations, pro-choice, pro-death organizations. And his tune, his message changed. And other pastors, because of his influence, you know, other pastors changed. And unfortunately, it's become a political, it's a moral issue, but they've bought into the, I say, bitten the apple, that it is a Democratic Party slogan that, you know, pro-choice. And unfortunately, we have many who, they don't look at the statistics, and they don't want to see the truth. And so that's what God's called me to do, share this message with whosoever I can.
Pastor Walter Moss is my guest, and Pastor, you mentioned the statistics, and it has always kind of bothered me that the secular media and others have never really... It's almost like they don't want the statistics out there.
That's right.
I wonder if you could share with the listeners some of the statistics that you mentioned, and keeping in mind that the statistics you mentioned from, you know, the 2010 census or whatever, those things are even worse if we were to look at them today. So, what are some of the key points, some of the key statistics that
yes.
that you found that in your ministry that people, when they see them, they begin to think differently?
Well, it's mainly like in my little booklet, I talk about it on page 3. 35% of abortions in the U.S. are performed on African American women, while we represent only 13% of the entire female population of this country. And the abortion rate among married African-American women is 3 times greater than it is among white women. And so, and you know, we're now in 2018, And statewide statistics, we get them every year. We find out 2017 statistics have just come out for the state of Ohio, and we see leveling off of the other races except for the African American community. The rate continues to be higher than every other population, and that really troubles me. And if we really look and find out, well, where are these abortion facilities? And I don't even want to call them a clinic, a facility, death places. They're in African, mostly African American communities. Preterm, the largest in Ohio, is in the heart of African American community on Shaker Heights Boulevard. And it sits across from African American Church. It sits down the street from the Cleveland Call and Post. It sits not far from the there's an African American sorority, Delta. It's their regional headquarters. And so it's in the heart of the African American community. And so that is one of the issues. Planned Parenthoods are in the heart of African-American communities. And so it's telling me that they're there on purpose. Mm-hmm. They're there on purpose. And so it is a genocide. Our people are, and we don't even know it. It reminds me of the frog that's being boiled. You don't even know what's happening to you. And the next thing you know, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really sense in my heart. You know, our numbers are dwindling each year, and yet we have African-American people who support abortion on demand. And I just say it's a spirit, and it's an evil spirit. And that's why I thank God for people like you who give opportunity that we can talk about these issues. And, you know, one of the things that I always hear is, well, you all want them not to abort the baby, but you're not going to help them afterward. Well, that's a lie, because as I said earlier, in our ministry, we work with groups all over Northeastern Ohio and Ohio, and I've presented to them different organizations, women who need help with their utilities, and you know what? Over these years, nobody's ever said no. They said, give us her name and phone number, and we'll help.
I've personally been involved with the Community Pregnancy Center up in Summit County.
Yes,
and, I've been involved for over 25 years. And can I share a little story with you?
Oh, yes.
25 years ago, I had received a little check from a speaking engagement I had done, and I said to my wife, I had read in a church bulletin that they were short of infant formula. Mm-hmm. They needed infant formula. And so I said, I'm going to take this little check, and I'm going to go over to the Kroger's. That shows how long ago it was, because
right.
Kroger's
was gone from here.
And I'm going to get some infant formula. Uh-huh. So at the time, it was in liquid cans, and it was, that's pretty expensive. But I had enough money for five cases. And when my kids were little, they had Similac with iron. So that's all I knew. So they had four cases of Similac with iron, and I got those acid. One of the stock clerks, I said, do you have any more in the back? And he went in the back and checked, and he didn't, but he brought out a case of Infamil. So I said, I don't know anything about it, but I'll take it. So
right.
I show up at the Community Pregnancy Center in Barberton, Ohio. There's a little house on Worcester Avenue, and I went to the back door, and an elderly volunteer came out. And I said, I have some infant formula, and I brought in the first two cases of Similac, and the director, who's in the dining room, that was her office, was the dining room. She had a young woman in front of her that she was talking to and counseling at the time, and she looked at me and smiled. And I went back and got two more cases of the Similac, and she looked at me and smiled. And then I went and I brought in this case of Infamil, and when she saw it, she got up from her desk and came over to me and said, is that Infamil? And I said, yes, it is. She says, the woman in front of me, her baby can only have Infamil, and we have none.
Wow.
Would you mind bringing that case to her car? And I said, of course. And as I was walking out, I heard her say to the girl, an angel just dropped off some Infamil. Now, Pastor, I've been called a lot of things over the years. Angel is not one of them. And so I've been involved from that day forward, and I do their strategic planning, and I try to help them. Now they're in a brand new facility, and they've got ultrasound and counseling.
Yeah. And that's what I say. We do help. We do want to help these children, these families, after that baby is born. That's just a lie that they use. And so thank God for that.
Yeah, their formula and diapers and blankets and layettes.
Yes.
And all of that that is provided. Yeah, I've always said, you know, I'm pro-life, and you got to put your money where your mouth is, and that's how you do it. You do it by supporting pro-life organizations and people that do help you with the utilities and those types of things. You know, this has been, rather than a moral issue, as you mentioned, it's been turned into a political issue, but it's seems to me that if the black population grew at the same rates as the other population, African American influence in politics would be greater rather than less.
That's right. They don't get that, though, Elder. They don't get that. They don't get the understanding that this is what's going on. It's like, again, the frog in the boiling water. They don't know what's really going on. Mm-hmm. They can't. Their eyes are, you know, the Bible, God talks about us being blinded. We're blinded. And unfortunately, the abortion cartel is, they got a lot of money. And, you know, Margaret Sanger, I hear it in the book, The Negro Project. Well, one of the first things that she did was give pastors money. And, you know, it's like that neutralizes them. Say, well, this woman must be, she really must be concerned about us. And she gave them money. And that was the beginning of her being able to plant a seed into the African-American community that we're still fighting against today.
My guest is Pastor Walter Moss, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Support for the Storytellers is provided by CatholicBook.net, serving the Catholic community for 30 years with books, Bibles, gifts, and more. CatholicBook.net is safe, secure, and simple to use. Just a few clicks and your purchase is delivered right to your door. CatholicBook.net, for 30 years, a commitment to service.
My guest is Pastor Walter Moss. He wrote a booklet a while back called Why I Am a Black Pro-Life Pastor, and just an interesting conversation we've been having this morning about the issue of abortion and how it affects the African-American community. I was in the break here, Walter, we were talking about some of the statistics, and I mentioned that I had read that the statistics in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore are just, when I heard it, I heard it's almost 90%, 80-some percent of African-American pregnancies end in abortion.
Yes.
And we talked about how it has been turned into a political issue again, Democrat versus Republican issue, when it's really a moral issue.
Yes, sir.
And the role of money in that.
Yep.
Do you see, when you sit down with other pastors, and I'm sure you do that, and you talk about this issue, is there resistance on their part? How can you convince other pastors that I know the statistics are just so telling, but how do you do that when you're sitting down? You've got a group of pastors that you're
working again. You got to educate, and I think you know, one of the ways is that they don't know what an abortion really is, and so somehow, some way, we got to get them in their mind a picture of what is an abortion. What is it's murder. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the graphic signs, but I've been working some with Pastor Clenard Childress out of New Jersey, the genocide movement that he has. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with him around the country. We were at Purdue University a couple of years ago, and they used the graphic signs. And I tell you, it gets a lot of people's attention, even though they get mad. But I think, to me, it educates people of what is an abortion. Now, Dr. Lau out of Florida, he has a video, a picture of an abortion, but it's not graphic. He uses it for educational purposes. He tells you what it is. He uses a baby doll, and he shows you what the abortionist does. And it's very educational. So really got to educate them to what is it, the brutality, the evil of it. And I think, and as you know, that movie that's out right now, God's Now, and it's interesting because Many of the theaters are even trying to censor that. Mm-hmm. So we really got to educate people, pastors, ministers, the church community, to what really is an abortion. I think if people would see this, it would change some hearts and minds to say, hey, yeah, I'm pro-choice or I support abortion.
You know, that the dialogue, Pastor, just it doesn't seem to be happening. The Gosnell movie that you mentioned when it first came out, and it was a limited number
right,
of theaters.
Right.
But people were walking out of the movie saying, my opinion has changed.
Correct.
I can't believe that I felt that way. And seeing that and being able to get their arms around that has changed opinions. But yet there, I just read an article maybe 2 days ago about the number of theaters that are just blocking the movie. They don't want it in the theater.
Or they cancel it after two weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the movie, it's been packed out. People have been going to see it.
Yeah, it was in the top 10 attendance, even with limited audience.
So I think we just got to get a way, you know, to get it on video, on DVDs, and pass them out to people. Say, please watch this. Shorted churches, community centers to people. It's educational. It's truth.
Talk about the regret, not only on the part of women, but the regret that follows on the part of men as well.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. One of the ones that really touches my heart strings is I ministered in a prison in Ohio, just men only. It was a men's prison. I was allowed to bring my books in, and 30 men there, and we were talking about abortion. And at the end of it, taking questions and answers, I had a young man share with me. He said, my only child was aborted. He said, I wasn't in agreement with it, but my wife wanted to abort that baby. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to be in prison the rest of my life, and I don't have any offspring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just crushed my heart for him. And there are many men and women who regret that decision that they made. And one of the things that the abortion cartel doesn't, you know, tell the women, they tell them, well, it's not a baby, it's just a blob of tissue. But many women and men, excuse me, sit in our congregations and going through life with all that regret and hurt and pain. And some of them never really have dealt with it and never asked God to forgive them. And what is so awesome is God is willing and ready to forgive them. But there is a lot of regret out there.
I spoke to a group a few weeks ago called Steadfast Fathers. It was a group at the pregnancy center. And it's a group of men. There were about 10 or 11 men that want to be good fathers. And a couple of them had girlfriends that were pregnant. And a couple of them, it was their first child. And a common theme among them, Walter, was none of them had a father figure in their life. None of them had either a father or an uncle or a coach or a teacher or someone to model, if you know what I mean, to say, I want to be like him.
Right.
The idea of fatherhood sometimes enters into this as well, that we have that. And what was wonderful is this is a group of men. They weren't forced to be there by the courts or anything like that. They wanted to do that. And I find that once someone accepts fatherhood or has a father figure in their life, their ideas and thoughts about this are different. Do you find the same thing?
Oh, definitely. That's it. That's the whole key. I mean, we're just replicating what God started with my dad, your dad. Now, it's interesting because I never knew my father, but I had uncles who were in my life and men in the church, and there was just something special about that. Mm-hmm. And that's what these young men, they need we call them mentors today. But we all need a man in our life to help us.
You'd be surprised how many of the men that I when I was a young married man going to church, how I would look at some of the older guys, maybe a generation older, and see how they treated their family or see how they were involved and so forth. And it made me say, I want to be like that.
That's
it gave me that model to try to mentor, and it was great. The night I spoke, I was they were in a kind of a semicircle, and I was seated because I had tweaked up my knee a little bit that day. And as I was speaking, one of the fathers who brought his little boy with him, he was probably a year and a half, 2 years old. Mm-hmm. He wandered over and climbed up on my lap and laid his head on my chest and slept while I spoke.
Oh.
And one of the guys managed to get a picture of that. And it was a picture of fatherhood, or in my instance, grandfatherhood or whatever. But that, I think, was such a... such a motivational thing for the guys in the room to go, you know, this is really where it's
that's
at.
Right.
And some of them, you know, I'm going to support my my girlfriend here. I'm going to man up
and
support her, you know, financially or emotionally or any way that I can. You know, whenever we discuss this and we see the odds that are against us, and we see that people can push a movie aside and do that political aspect, we have to kind of enter from a different angle then, right? I think we have to get to leadership. We have to get to the leadership in the Black community. There are organizations doing that. You mentioned, a couple of them here. do you see any progress being made?
Oh, definitely. And I think this is something that I will continue to do. I send my books. I give them away. I'm going to send them to all the next term. I'll send them to congressmen, senators, state and federal. Anybody that I can to help get the message out, and organizations. You know, we work with many organizations. You kind of got to, it's just like you got to keep this in people's face, because, of course, the pro-death folks, they don't want us to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so this is a call on my life. This is my ministry. Since I stopped pastoring, I mean, I'm still ministering.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what God's called me to do. And it's not popular in many African-American circles. When I come into a room or a meeting, everybody knows who I am. And it's what God has called me to do. People like yourself and me, we've got to do this because God said we are His voice for these babies that don't have a voice.
Yeah, I had a friend who was in full-time ministry and retired from it, and he was bemoaning that fact. And I said, "We always minister. We're constantly. We're called to minister. The Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations.' So we're called to minister.
That's right.
We minister by what we say and do. We minister by what we get involved with. We get ministered by the way we treat our families and so forth.
Yes.
And so we're always in
That's
ministry."
Right.
And
yes,
we're always doing it. Well, I'm in awe of what you've done. As I said,
I
got your book handed to me 3 years ago at a pro-life banquet, and I was very impressed time.
And
I'm more impressed now after having a chance to talk with you, Pastor Walter Moss, and his pamphlet "Why I'm a Black Pro-Life Pastor," as he said, thousands of them in the marketplace, and I pray that there'll be thousands more in the future. Pastor, welcome. Great to have you with me today.
It's
God bless you.
Here.
God bless your ministry.
God bless you, and thank you for what you do.
And that's our storytellers for today. This is Tony Agnese. Join me again next week as we'll present another storyteller. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Storytellers with Tony Agnese, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. To learn more about today's storyteller, go to thestorytellersradio.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast and hear all of our past shows. And join us again next week at this same time for The Storytellers with Tony Agnese.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.